Well, now we have completed two chapters. The last chapter was dedicated to understanding the Indian perspective to recruitment. Now, here we take a generic look at the sources of recruitment. In fact, some of these concepts have been discussed in the first chapter, but we are going to provide more detail and develop a better understanding of these sources before we actually move ahead. So, let us look at what objectives we have for this particular chapter. It's a small chapter, so we specifically will look at the need-based choice of the sources of recruitment. As we have seen, the recruitment professionals actually need to match, or they need to create the right match by identifying what is exactly required by their organization in terms of the skill sets, in terms of experience, in terms of education, in terms of understanding the organizational culture, and thus providing the company with those kind of employees which are a right match for these requirements. We will also look at the internal and external sources which we have discussed earlier, but we shall shed more light into the kind of sources that are available for recruitment. Now, every organization, it has the option of choosing the candidates for its requirement processes. So, the organization under factors which we had discussed in the first chapter, there are several factors which actually create the need or necessity for either an internal source or an external source of recruitment. So, what are those kind of factors? How does recruitment happen? So, these factors ideally are internal or internal sources and the external sources of recruitment. So, this is again a need-based thought. A need-based decision which needs to be taken by the recruitment professionals of the organizations. The very first thing is what we have mentioned in the previous slide. It's a need-based choice of sources of recruitment. So all these decisions need to be based on certain important characteristics which are mentioned here in the slide. Let us look at what they are. There needs to be a valid the decision needs to be valid, it needs to be practical and measurable. So, there are certain approaches. These approaches are valid, practical, and measurable approaches that ensure hiring on the basis of merit. So, hiring should happen based on the merit. If you are conducting certain selection tests or interviews, then the candidates which best perform in these particular interviews, those are the people who should actually join the company or the organization. Applicants whose resume and the cover letter best demonstrate how they meet the qualifications to do the job should be invited to continue in the hiring process. So, ideally, you should set up certain filters which we have seen in the process of selection, and you have to move through those particular filters, basing your decision upon the validity, basing your decision upon the practicality, and the measurement criteria approaches in order to arrive at the most logical decision and the right fit for the organization. Thus, as a part of the need-based choice of sources, the hiring process starts by developing a complete understanding of the position within a well-written job description. So, as we've seen in a diagram in a in the first chapter, there is basically a job analysis, and then we move ahead. So, there's a close match which needs to happen between the desired position, the capabilities of the person, and the written job description. This job description also supports many other HR functions. So, the functions like recruitment, functions like selection, function like orientation, functions like training, functions like the work plans, functions like compensation, and the performance reviews all are supplementary functions to the major HR function, and the job description entails this particular thing. In the previous slide, we looked at what are the elements that are supplementary to the job description. The job description basically explains the key responsibilities or the KRAs. This is quite a common word or a famous word here, and the required knowledge and skills of the actual position. So, if it's let us work with certain examples. If it is a job for let us say a software engineer in a software firm, So probably the KRAs would be developing of software modules, testing procedures, understanding and learning certain new languages, and so on. So ideally what they do is they cite the key responsibilities, that is, what would the person do on a daily basis, what would be the most important activities which would be performed as a part of the daily routine of this particular person, as well as the reporting relationships and the work environment. So how does a person fit into a particular work environment? What is the reporting, that is, whom does the person report to? What is the hierarchy that the person is a part of, and all these things. So all these things make up the concept or the term job description. A job analysis now is what we do to understand what are the key elements involved in filling a position based on the job description. So a job analysis must be conducted before writing or rewriting the job description. So what are the key ingredients that go into a job description? What are the reporting elements? What are the elements that must be looked as a cultural fit? All these elements need to be looked upon before we start writing or rewriting a particular job description. So this is, I would say, a step, or this is an endeavor to get the right match for an organization which is requiring to fill a position with the right delegate. There are several different ways and thousands of different places where you can advertise a job opening. Now, what we are doing is we are looking at the kind of choices that are involved in citing out the sources, or how we can actually advertise a particular job opening. There are certain evaluations, certain options that need to be evaluated. We've got a brief list here. Once you've identified the best places to advertise, to fill your available position, you need to evaluate the different options available. You want them to respond now, not set the ad aside. So the advertisement which you're placing to fill a particular job position needs to have an impact. Otherwise, it will just be set aside by the delegates and they will move on to more impactful advertisements. Important thing, while we work on the different ways to fill out and advertise a job posting or an opening, is to watch your wording. Extremely important if we need to create an impact. Now, the objective here is our advertisement should form a basis of motivating people to come and join our organization, or at least be a part of the recruitment process. So we need to watch the wording. The skill requirements in your ad must reflect bona fide job requirements. So they should be in congruence with whatever job requirements are. So those skill requirements should match up. They should ensure that there is an equal opportunity. So they should not be restrictive in terms of the gender. Ideally, if you've seen a lot of ads, only female candidates may apply, or only candidate experienced candidates may apply. So wherever there are certain generic job positions, there needs to be a mention of the equal opportunity. Very important. Let's move ahead. The next step post putting an advertisement, putting a job opening, is the scheduling of the interviews. You need to schedule interviews in order to start with the selection process, which is a core part of the recruitment and selection. Now, in this particular thing, there are certain things that we need to ensure, certain things need to happen in a proper manner. What are those? A quick list here. Prepare specific open-ended questions. Extremely important that the interviewer, being a part of the panel of interviewing in previous companies, some prominent companies like Cummins, Wipro. So what has been realized, what has been trained to us as recruiters, is we need to ask more of open-ended questions in order to solicit information from candidates. So if you as a recruitment professional are barging questions, or are just, you know, talking more than the delegate or than the person who's come for the interview, you will not get enough information from this person. So as a recruitment professional, it is your responsibility to listen more. It is your responsibility to register more information about the candidate and probe the candidate in such a manner that he or she provides maximum information so we can decipher whether they are a right fit or not. It must be related to the candidate's qualifications and ability to perform essential duties. So, it is a mandate by the legislation, by the human rights legislation, that you should not ask unnecessary questions which are of a personal nature, which are related to the sexual preferences, which are related to the genders of gender of the person, which are related to the religion or caste of a person, or any disability related information. So it is more towards asking the person about the qualifications and ability or the capabilities to perform duties which encompass our job description. Extremely important point to be understood by prospective recruitment professionals. Questions that directly or indirectly relate to prohibited grounds of discrimination. Now, we have discussed this in the previous slide, just going to expand on it, such as the age, family status, place of origin, religion, sexual identity, race, gender, and so on. These basically violate, as stated before, the human rights legislation because they are irrelevant to the candidate's ability to do the work. So, such discriminatory or such biased kind of questions need to be ruled out from the interview process. Well, now in a diagrammatic manner, we have enlisted certain things that need to be understood, certain things to be taken care of while we are ensuring need-based choice of sources of recruitment. The organization can choose either to look internally within the organization or seek candidates externally from a general labor pool. This is a point of discussion which has been reiterated quite a lot. The decision can be made on basis of some considerations that we have enlisted here in this particular slide in a diagrammatic manner. These are the level of position to be filled, extremely important. For example, if it is an executive position which needs to be filled, certainly you cannot just go to a campus, or you cannot just go to any recruitment consultancy. It's quite a niche position. So probably setting up a management consultant or an executive research firm would help in this matter. Contrary to this, if a college requirement needs to be filled wherein you require to infuse fresh blood into the company, if you are required to induct about say 100 people on an urgency basis, so probably the best place might be to either have a job fair or probably just go to the campus and select people. Again, demand supply constraints, if any. So if you are a recruitment professional in a remote location where there is a constraint of the supply, then you need to look at this consideration with a different perspective. You need to employ certain techniques like employing of labor contractors to get some certain contract workers or casual workers. Again, time and budget constraints are important considerations. If the position is a very niche kind of a position, if your organization has got a process which needs immediate ramp up, so you would need to consider it on an urgency basis. You would need to expand the budget. If there's a budget constraint, then probably you would look at online solutions which are free of cost or low cost. Again, location, as mentioned previously in the demand supply, can be an important consideration. So the choice of recruitment can vary from an internal to an external source. And of course, the pay and the benefits. So if there are certain benefits associated with internal recruitment, like motivating people to perform better by promoting them or by transferring them, then that would also work. So these are basically considerations which are quite unique to situations at hand and should be considered. In fact, the key message here from this particular slide is these should be taken into consideration when you are trying to identify the sources of recruitment. So your recruitment should meet these concerns or these considerations in order to be successful. Let's move on to the next slide. This slide focuses on the elements, that is enlisting what elements does an organization need to consider in chalking out a sourcing plan. So in congruence with the previous slide, this is a connection to the previous slide, where we have seen the kind of considerations required for sourcing, or to go about the various ways of sourcing. Here there are certain questions to be asked in order to understand understand things before we chalk out or come out with a particular recruitment or a sourcing plan. Important questions asked here are: what type of individual should be targeted? Extremely important. Need to look at individuals from the skills point of view, individuals on a behavioral point of view, individuals from experience point of view. Where can these people be found? So if it's a niche position, let us say it is a position which is not easily found commonly. So do we employ certain agencies? Do we look up to the social media sites? Do we browse through just look through the professional networking sites? What do we do? How can the targeted individuals be best reached? So if there is a set of casual laborers which need to be employed, where can these people be best reached? If it's an executive, on the contrary, a person who is one of the topmost people in the management, how can we approach these people? What recruitment message should be communicated? So how do you communicate your brand image? Because primarily a recruitment is carried out, so these involve the brand image as well. You motivate people to join the company by promoting a positive brand image. And of course, what type of recruiters should be used? So primarily the same type of recruiter for a campus would not be useful if the recruitment is for casual laborers, or if it is for a mid-management or an executive level. So all these factors, all these points, all these characteristics that are there, they need to be looked at in the form of questions before actually coming out or chalking out with of a sourcing plan. Let us now move ahead. Again, here this is in congruence, it is in connection with the previous slide, where it says the key elements, what should be the key elements of a sourcing plan. So extremely important for recruitment professionals to understand what are the key elements of a sourcing plan, what should they ideally include. Through the diagram, we can see three major elements which we shall discuss. The first being the prioritizing of the talent needs. Here we need to detail the numbers required. So there needs to be a measurable target, like a mention of the SMART goals. So we need to work with certain SMART targets or SMART goals. We need to look at numbers. Basically, recruitment is all about numbers, meeting numbers of various requirements. So whether the numbers need to be met on a monthly basis, or do we look at meeting numbers on a quarterly basis, or do we meet numbers on an annual basis or a biannual basis, that's a 6-monthly basis, of the planned hires for each business, for each team or division, and of course create weightages and priorities of the same. The next point is chalk out the sourcing budget. So here what we do is there needs to be an estimation or an estimate of the funding needs. Here there is a necessity to have a job requisition system in place. That is the process that allows managers to create requisitions and the HR teams to identify and prioritize the job openings, based on which there is a sourcing budget which can be created, and we can then analyze as per the requirements whether we are either meeting up with the budget or over exceeding the budget, or the budget has not been, it's not been fully utilized. So this is primarily very important, this particular point of chalking out of the sourcing of budget as a part of the key elements of the sourcing plan. The third point here is also equally important, which is profiling of the talent needs. Extremely critical and quintessential is the factor of creating profiles for the talent needs. So this ideally chalks out the profiles from job descriptions that identify the responsibilities and required key skills, the required abilities and exact knowledge and the experience. So it is quite important to have profiles or probably categorize the talent needs of a particular job description, which will help us to chalk out a perfect sourcing plan with the future or with a forecast of the future in mind. Let us now move ahead, and we are going to look at defining and identifying the source basis. What is what are the primary areas of the need behind doing so? So it's extremely critical that we actually move ahead, we create a definition and we create an identity of the various sources. What are the bases or what is the foundation that exists behind the creation of these particular sources? Well, as you can see through this diagram, we have come out with a list here with internal sourcing, external sourcing. We also encompass in this list or include creative sourcing, applicant tracking system, which is an important software application, or it's a software related to recruitment, and a certain measurement mechanism or a measuring mechanism here. A quick discussion about these sources before we move ahead. So internal sourcing basically defines the system to allow for current employees to compete for promotions and transfers. This is in fact being reiterated as a point which we've discussed in the previous as well as the first chapter. So there's no further need for a discussion. External sourcing again has been discussed before. This is developing the image that you want to convey to the marketplace about the positive aspects of your organization and its jobs. External market sourcing selects, or it actually facilitates in the selection of the appropriate sources to be used, such as the advertisements that are placed through either a newspaper, through either the radio, through either the television or some prominent magazines, or today's times we can advertise on social media sites, on the company blogs, on the company intranet, or on the company's websites as well as the professional networking sites. When it comes to creative sourcing, we can consider alternatives such as a temporary employment contract, wherein people are, if it's a 6 months contract, let us say the job position is not permanent, it is just for replacing an employee probably who's on maternity, let us say. The employee position is just one, and the company has provisions for a maternity leave. So probably best choice would be in lieu of that employee taking a leave for the next 6 months, probably replace the employee with a contract employee. Once the employee is back, you can remove the contract employee so that there is no problem. The earlier employee joins back and the contract employee moves to another organization. Part-time employees, if the job does not require a lot of the full working hours, maybe you can also involve part-time employees. Outsourcing of certain non-essential jobs, we've already seen in many companies things like the travel, that is the transport, that is the facilities management, that is cleaning, is outsourced to various companies. Then again, offshoring some of the work which needs to be offshored, job sharing and telecommuting. So all these can come into the field of creative sourcing. Here, the recruitment professional, if they do it properly, they end up saving a lot of time and money for the organization. The next is the ATS, or the applicant tracking system. Here we are going to discuss about ATS in the future, you know, in the further chapters. Here a quick mention is to define a system to track candidates for sourcing process and reporting. As the name goes, it is a system to track the applicants or track candidates to enhance the sourcing or the recruitment process, and creation of various reports, and it is a basis for analysis as well. The final point is the measuring mechanism. There is a need to define a system to report and track efficiency of various sources of recruiting, which can be used to monitor progress and for reporting of the requirements. So basically, we need to define and identify the source basis, that is the need behind selection of such sources which are enlisted here through this particular diagram. Well, in the previous slide, what we had done is we had identified the various sources of recruitment, varying from the internal sources to creative sources and various other things. Here we are going to look at a mechanism to measure the efficiency and effectiveness of the talent sourcing process. So ideally, the challenge is finding the most effective and appropriate ways to measure and evaluate the performance of the talent sourcing process. So ideally, recruitment is nothing but sourcing or creating a pool of talented individuals which fit the requirements, which fit the needs of the organization. Hence, the need to identify talent, in fact, which is the most challenging part of the recruitment process. So how to find the right match, how to find the right mix of characteristics which identify, which define talent, and which are the requisites of the organization. Thus, efficiency and effectiveness of this process of sourcing can come from tracking the various elements of these processes. So there are certain elements that need to be tracked, certain elements that need to be identified, and precisely that's what we are going to do. We are going to enlist those elements in the next slide. Let's look at that. The quality outcomes, here we are going to look at tracking those. The quality and the outcomes of the process. So certain questions that need to be asked in this particular aspect of the quality, and what is the probable, or what needs to be the probable outcome of this recruitment process. So are we going to the right sources for talent? Well, if it is, let's work with examples again. If it is, if we want to, recruit or source casual laborers for a 5-day installation work or some construction work in the company, then we need to require, local people who are the regional labor contractors, who can probably bring about 200-250 workers for that particular piece of work. If it is we are recruiting or we are inducting a general manager, so we cannot go to the same labor contractor, but we have to go to a management consultant, or we have to go to executive research firms, or so on. Or probably we need to use LinkedIn, wherein we can look at any passive people who are looking forward, not actively though, but who have the right credentials and who might switch over for our job position. Do our sources understand the job positions? Hence, if we are recruiting from certain recruitment agencies for an IT position, do they have an understanding what goes into the job? What are the key ingredients that entail the job position? An understanding of the culture of the organization, the techniques which are used on the job, the kind of software that is used, all these come into this particular question. So we need to choose a source which understands. If we are outsourcing the bit, if we are not doing it ourselves, if some agency is doing it, do they have the right knowledge? Can they administer the right tests for selection is the question here. Is the quality of the resumes acceptable? So whatever resumes we get, whatever CVs we get, are they on the lines of what we have cited as requirements? So are they on the same lines? Along with the quality, the next characteristic is the speed of the process and the response time. As we have understood from our previous discussions, recruitment is all about urgency, speed, urgency and speed, in fact. So, in this particular context, is there the speed? Is the speed being met? Is there a certain response time? So, what is the response time, firstly? So, right from getting a particular requisition from a particular department to meeting that is, you know, with a response from the recruitment, what is that particular time? Is it a very urgent requirement, like it needs to be filled in a couple of days? Is it a requirement which is for the future, that is, it can be filled in 3 months or 4 months, when we actually have a process which is transitioned from the client to our own department? So these are the things which are encompassed in the response time for each source. What can be done to enhance the speed of response? So let us say if we require to induct about 5 engineers, field engineers, in a particular production department, and if it requires a month to probably, you know, get on board those 5 engineers, can we do something which can get those people in 20 days? What is the speed? How, what enhancements can be done to the speed of response? Can we utilize online resourcing? Can we look at newer and more novel ways of sourcing? Those kind of things can be looked upon in enhancing the speed. What are the costs incurred now? Along with the quality, along with the speed, the next important factor is the cost incurred. So, what is basically the cost incurred for each source? If we have a particular budget, a set budget, which is, you know, we can indulge in spending money and time, probably then we can look at more sources. If we are in a strict budget, in a watertight budget, probably then the sources will also get reduced. Does the quality of resumes justify the cost? So, if you are spending on the sources of recruitment, if you are spending money in doing ramp ups for an external consultant, if you're spending money on job portals like Naukri or Monster, is that cost, is the money spent there, does that get justified by the quality of resumes or the profiles that you get in response? So these are three important characteristics, and those questions which are asked in the context of those important characteristics need to be in the minds of the recruitment professionals in order to make this process a success.